Hello, this is Chris Nelson from evolveconsciousness.org. I will be going through the natural law, consciousness, and trivium chart I made, this infographic I made, I think in March of 2014. It's almost a year later. I'm going to do an audio and explain each of the different levels, and as we progress through the initial expression to the internal expression to the external expression and what we generate in reality. So this is Universal Cosmic Natural Moral Law, which I have a presentation, audio and video and article already on that. This is a chart to summarize a lot of understandings and how they relate to each other. That's why there's natural law application and the trivium application, because they're very much related. So universal cosmic natural moral law is also known as natural law, cause and effect, consequentialism, repercussions to actions, morality, karma, the law of attraction, the golden rule. It's consequences to actions, which is consequentialism. So we can look at it either in that positive way, is how we can create reality as a cause and effect through those terms, or we can look at it in a more descriptive phrase. How to manifest reality actively by caring for truth, or how to be controlled by not caring for truth, or how to control reality by limiting access for truth. So we can manifest reality actively by caring for truth, or we can be controlled by not caring for truth, which is the state of the whole planet, where people don't really care for truth and morality. They may lie to themselves and lie to others and pretend that they do, but they don't. And when you're one of the dark occultists who's doing the controlling, you can further propagate this control by limiting the access to truth. So even if people do care for truth somewhat, they won't have an easy time of finding the quality truth and that matters, that can help them manifest reality properly through a care for truth. Alright, so the first column is the level of expression, which is similar to Mark Passio's natural law chart. The second column is natural law application, is how it fits in, how each level of expression fits in when we're looking at natural law. And then we have how each level of expression fits in when we're looking at the trivium application, or when we're looking at the level of consciousness in the next column. And finally, in the last column, the expressions when we're in the fear of truth and in unconsciousness. So we'll begin with each level, and we'll go across horizontally from left to right. So the first level of expression would be the initial expression or manifestation, which is starting the process. And normally in Mark Passio's natural law chart, expressions chart, he would start with love or fear. So instead of love, I'm saying care for truth, which is what love is supposed to represent as the force that expands consciousness, which is care for truth. Care for truth is what expands consciousness, because when you care for truth, you're going to seek truth, and then you're going to find truth, and that will allow you to expand consciousness. So the force that allowed you to seek it and find it and embrace it so that you could expand consciousness was the care for truth. The care, the true care, you can look at as the higher order love, the force that expands consciousness. So this is starting the process. When we get into natural law application, this is to seek and discover knowledge about what is occurring in us and in the world. Conscious awareness of parts of the puzzle, the tapestry and the canvas, the big picture, the cosmic web, the great pattern, etc. When we go over to the trivium application, in natural law, is when we seek truth in order to gain knowledge, so we can have conscious awareness of the bigger picture, so we can act properly within the bigger picture. First, you need the information, you need the truth. So in the trivium, that's the grammar knowledge input phase, where we're gathering data on reality. That's the who, what, where, and when. It's the objective reality of characteristics, aspects, qualities, attributes, and properties of what is the current condition with acceptance, not denial. This is what is known as metaphysics. Or to get into metaphysics, you need to have an input of reality. And these qualities and characteristics and attributes, that's the metaphysics. It's what's behind or before the physical things we see right in front of us, like a human. What's beyond that? What are the qualities and aspects and properties and attributes within it? Then when we go to levels of consciousness, so the care for truth, seek and discover knowledge, grammar input knowledge, is in consciousness, this is initiating, starting, awakening, and beginning the spiritual journey on the path towards truth, love, good, etc. We're revived and arisen from the deadened care of apathy. Instead of having deadened care, where it's dead in apathy, we're reviving ourselves and arising from that, from the tomb and coffin, to reduce our ignorance. It's the initial care for truth. So once we're out of the coffin, out of being dead and not caring for truth, we have that initial spark, that initial drive to run towards truth because we care for it, at least in some capacity. As a result, we develop care for ourselves. We're seeking to evolve our consciousness through the attainment of truth. So you can see how these first three squares are describing the same thing in different ways. One's regarding just natural law, as it's expressed through Mark Passio's chart. Next one is the trivium. And the next one after that is consciousness, how this works in consciousness. They're all the same level. But if instead of choosing care for truth, you choose apathy for truth, you choose to continue ignoring truth, instead of seeking truth and developing knowledge, you're going to remain in the development or then in the stagnation of ignorance. So this is fear of truth and unconsciousness. So ignorance manifests as ignorance and avoidance, denial or rejection of truth, love, good. It produces false perceptions due to a limited data set. So when you ignore, let's say, 1,000 points of information and you only look at one or two, well, you're going to be ignorant and you're going to be very limited in your perception. You won't be seeing the 1,000 bits of the big picture, the cosmic web, the great pattern, the canvas tapestry and puzzle. You're only going to be seeing a few little bits. So you're going to create false perceptions about your reality because you don't have enough information about your reality. And then you're going to become attached to those lies, to those false perceptions, those deceptions, illusions, and bullshit, and you're not going to want to let go of it. You don't have true care to seek truth, love, and good, and moral understanding. You just want to be ignorant. You don't want to look at those 1,000 bits of data points to understand what good is, to understand what evil is, to understand right from wrong. You're just going to be content in your ignorance, continue to remain unconscious in the tomb, deadened in a lack of care, in the death of apathy, being unawakened, unalive. And just, it's all about fear of truth. Because ultimately, the fear of truth requires us to change. So we have to let go of those attachments to lies, deceptions, and bullshit. We have to drop our false perceptions, and we have to reconstruct all of our perceptions. That takes a lot of work and effort. So it's a lot easier to just remain unconscious and say, well, I'm just going to avoid, deny, and keep rejecting the truth because I actually fear the truth. That's what it's about. You actually fear the truth. You don't want the truth and the work that is involved in finding it, and in processing it within yourself, and in harmonizing with it within yourself, to align your perceptions with the truth. It's just too much work, and you'd just rather be left alone in your pleasure trap, unconsciously living as a dead person. The next level of expression, after we have the initial expression or manifestation within us, Deep within, we have a care for truth, or we have an apathy for truth through a fear for truth. So we either love truth and we care for truth, or we have fear for truth and we don't care, and we remain ignorant. So the internal expression or manifestation as a result of that care or fear, lack of care, is we have changes within our being, within the core of who we are, of how we live. And the way to do that is to embody truth to evolve consciousness. That's when we align and harmonize with it. So that's the first. And after we care for truth and find it in greater capacities and greater degrees, then we can actually bring it into us by accepting it, and then we can live it by embodying it, by making it become part of who we are. So in the natural law application, this is to embrace and understand truth, love, good, right, to become, embody, and live morally. That's the changes in our being. We're actually changing ourselves to be more good, right, truthful, and moral. We're unifying thoughts, emotions, and actions with themselves, in ourselves, and with truth, love, good. So it's not just about unity within yourself as a sovereign who controls their thoughts, emotions, and actions, and possibly in a dark care and an evil capacity. No, it's about uniting yourself within yourself in the trinity of consciousness, but you also have to align and harmonize yourself with truth of reality. Otherwise, you're not evolving consciousness. If all you have is a sovereignty of being an evil person, then you're completely fine in your thoughts, emotions, and actions of being a psychopath, suffering and dishing out suffering. Or in that case, you wouldn't even be a psychopath because you'd be perfectly content. You'd be harmonized within. Your thoughts, emotions, and actions would be in harmony. You'd be a sovereign. You'd be, I forget what Mark Passio said, but you know, the dark cultists, that they get what they want because the universe gives them what they want because they're united within. I don't view that as accurate, but I'm just saying, when you are united from within in evil, you're still sovereign. You're just not doing good. You're not evolving consciousness. You're not living in harmony with natural law, with the higher world, the higher self. So this is to be sovereignty of self-control and self-actualization of aspects of truth, love, good, right, morality, natural law, true self, higher will, spirit, God, etc. It's to self-actualize those things into our being, into who we are, to embody truth, love, good, right, morality, natural law as the process in evolving consciousness. In the Trivium application for the changes in our being, this is how we do it according to the Trivium process and processing reality. This is where logic, understanding, and processing comes in, where we derive meaning, purpose, and value. This is the why, as opposed to what, where, when, and who from the grammar input of knowledge. This is where we think more on the knowledge and we process it to understand more about reality rather than just input aspects of reality, to get to the why, the root causal factors. In doing so, we get a high definition of clarity and precision of terms and definitions. By delving deeper into things, by into their true meaning, to determine the value and purpose, we get more clarity and more precision in those terms and definitions we use in the things of reality we look at and try to describe. We correspond and integrate non-contradictory data. So we're trying to remove things that conflict with each other, things that contradict and can't be at the same time existing. You can't have a black cup that is the same time a white cup. They can't exist at the same time. That's just a whatever example. Anyways, everyone knows non-contradictory thinking. If you don't, go look into the 5-part series on language and reality, which deals with trivium and logic and grammar and rhetoric and many things. So to continue in the trivium application, we correspond and integrate non-contradictory data. We have to validate the current condition of reality. That's what it's about. We're removing the contradictions so that things integrate and unify in a whole, and they're not disunited, disharmonized in a contradictory, inconsistent state that cannot unite. So we have to validate the current condition of reality and remove the contradictions and things that don't make sense. We need to filter, discern, and judge truth from lies, right from wrong. So we take in quality truth as a foundational basis for making decisions. After we filter, remove contradictions, get more clarity and precision of terms and definitions, we can arrive at greater quality truth and use that as a foundational basis for making decisions and building other secondary constructs upon. We need to make quality truth as the axioms, what drives us in our lives. We need to take in that quality truth and use it as a foundational axiom in order for it to drive us and direct us in life, which is what axioms are. So as opposed to metaphysics, which was the aspects and characteristics of what's in reality, this is the epistemology, where we're getting down to making decisions, how we know knowledge, how we know things. Next, over the level of consciousness. This is when we're changing our being, when we're embodying, becoming, and living those truths and goods and moral principles, we're embodying truth and evolving consciousness. So we're in the levels of consciousness. This is the blossoming of truth perceived and attained by accepting, embracing, united, harmonizing, integrating, being, and embodying truth, love, good, right. We're evolving consciousness in alignment with higher self, higher will, and higher consciousness. We're abdicating from harm and evil by changing expressions of consciousness. So it's all from within. It's the why we do things, looking at the trivium. Causal factors, we have to change our foundational basis, our axioms, and we have to abdicate and remove ourselves from harm and evil. And by doing so, we change our being with inside, removing ourselves from evil. So we're no longer acting in the evil capacities, we remove ourselves from evil. And that helps us to evolve consciousness as well, because now we're no longer embodying falsity. We're no longer embodying the immorality. We're no longer embodying the evil. We've abdicated ourselves from it. We've removed ourselves from creating those expressions, creating that reality, from manifesting those behaviors into reality. And that's embodying truth and morality, and that helps us evolve consciousness. And if you don't do any of these natural law developments and trivium application using and to evolve consciousness, if you're not doing this, then you're still stuck in the fear of truth and unconsciousness. Or you had ignorance before, now you're in confusion because of all that ignorance. You haven't been learning truth, you haven't been initiating into the journey, and therefore if you're not getting those bits of data, then you can't possibly accept, embrace, unite, harmonize, integrate, and embody the truth that you discover, because you're not discovering truth. You're ignoring truth. You're avoiding it. You're denying it. You're rejecting it, because you're attached to falsity and you don't want to let go. So this creates confusion from contradictory false perceptions, because you're not looking at reality in as much of a capacity as you can. You're only looking at certain little bits. You have many false conceptions, false perceptions, as I discussed before, and you're attached to them. So this creates confusion, because you're going to have false conceptions, and falsity can contradict other falsity. The falsity only appears more valid when the falsity doesn't contradict. But when you have limited data bits, and you're creating conceptions on fantasy and belief, well, you're more than likely going to have contradictions. Because a false perception created from a lack of information, and then another false perception created from a lack of information, well, they might contradict, because the information that you lack, you might also have negative information, which is false, and then you're going to have your false beliefs that you think are real, where they're going to contradict each other, but that's another cue. Once you're here at contradictions in your perceptions, well, clearly that's a confusion. You're confused. If you have a contradiction and you believe it to be right, then you're confused. And if you have a contradiction and you recognize it, then you recognize that you're confused and you need to remove that contradiction. And that's what the process of logic and understanding and processing is for, is to remove contradictions. But if you don't care for truth, then you probably don't care for logic much, because logic is all about the discovery of truth. That's why New Agers, who I've lived with, don't really give a shit about truth. Because they're very confused. They have all these contradictory beliefs, and everything for them is just beliefs. They're all possibilities. Everything they talk about, even though they talk about it, and they'll argue about it as if it's true. And then in another statement, they'll say, oh, well, I'm only talking about possibilities. Everything I talk about is possibilities. Why do you get upset when I just talk about possibilities? See, this is backpedaling and bullshit. They don't believe there's truth, and everything's possible. They can just believe whatever they want, and it's all possible. Anyways, New Agers, you suck. So the confusion from contradictory false perceptions is what happens when you ignore these other aspects of gaining input and grammar from knowledge and reality to understand characteristics and attributes, and then processing non-contradictory data in order to filter it and judge it and discern it so you can get the quality truth to use as a foundational basis in your reality. If you don't do that, no, you're just going to be in confusion constantly. Contradictory false perceptions. You have a lack of truth via acceptance and attachment to what is false, wrong, immoral, and evil. It's because you didn't want to learn. You didn't want to go looking for truth. You didn't care for truth. So when you have apathy for truth, you're very content just accepting falsity, because in your ignorance, you believe it to be true. So you'll accept falsity, and these will be false perceptions, but you're going to become attached to them anyways, because you haven't looked into truth and morality, and you don't care for truth, and you don't understand how to discover truth. So what you end up doing is you end up becoming attached to whatever idiotic beliefs and false perceptions you've created, because you don't really have an understanding of what's more important, which is truth, rather than just attaching to ideas because you use them as a basis for making sense of reality. So when you don't understand much about reality, you need to remain attached to the limited understanding of reality you have, because that's all you understand about reality. You don't understand anything deeper and more depth and greater capacities. You have a very limited understanding of reality. So with that limited understanding in reality, you're desperately holding on to those limited aspects of understanding reality that you have. When you understand more aspects of reality, you can see, oh, well, this makes more sense. I'm going to let go of the falsity I'm attached to. But when you don't have enough data bits of reality, all you have is the limited aspect of bullshit beliefs, of false beliefs, false perceptions that you can remain attached to, because that's all you have for your construction of your worldview, for your sense of reality, for even your self-concept and self-image and sense of self. These beliefs are part of your identity, what you use as a basis for your own identity and as a basis for understanding reality. So if you're missing other aspects of reality, other aspects of truth, and all you have is this limited data pool, these limited beliefs and false perceptions, then you are very attached to those falsities, because it's all you know. That's all you know. To begin to detach yourself from that, you require other input. But you can't even begin to detach yourself from the falsity because you do not even have the other input, the other grammar, knowledge, and data of seeking and discovering knowledge to initiate and awaken and start and begin the spiritual journey on the path towards truth, love, good. To get out of the tomb and coffin, care for truth, and seek the truth. You're not even there yet, so you can't even obtain the additional... You can't even obtain the additional aspects of understanding and comprehending reality because you're not even looking for it. So you're stuck in the confusion state of contradictory false perceptions, which keeps you attached and accepting the falsity, wrong, immoral, and evil. You're not going to be able to break out of it until you go back to the first step, which is to care for truth and get rid of this fear for truth, this avoidance, denial, and rejection. Because if you don't do that, then you're limited in what you perceive and what you understand, and you're going to remain attached to those limited perceptions forever. or likely forever, unless it's always a slow progression in life. The trivium application and natural law unfold slowly in people's perceptions because they don't do much thinking. So eventually it might happen that you break out of it, or other people talk to you and then you break out of it. But it's a hard thing for people to break out because they're unaware of how these dynamics work. You know, some of us break out of it naturally, like I did, without understanding all of this, because it is a natural part of life. You need, as I've mentioned in other audios, you need a catalyst in order to shake you to the core, to provide the tension, pressure, and conflict within yourself, the interference of your perceptions with reality, with how reality actually is. Once you get that shake and it shatters your false perceptions, then you can actually care for truth, as opposed to being apathetic for truth before. You need that catalyst, the chaos, to shake you awake out of the tomb and coffin from the deadened state of apathy into caring more about reality. You need that chaos, the evil, to become part of your conscious awareness. You need to be aware of the evil. And without it, you're not going to care as much. So, from the acceptance and attachment to what is false, wrong, and evil and immoral that keeps you in confusion, from attachment to those false perceptions and contradictions, you remain in undeveloped care for truth, undeveloped consciousness, undeveloped heart center, undeveloped care for other beings, undeveloped care of self and higher self, and you're unwilling to change for the better. Because if you're confused, you can't change for the better. When you're confused and you lack knowledge, which is why I have the time learning versus time acting and inner work versus outer work, because if you have not done the time to learn, then you're going to act in confusion in all these undeveloped states, and you're not going to be able to change for the better. You're going to think you're changing for the better, but because you're in such a confused state from being so ignorant, from being in a fear of truth and avoiding the truth, being an unconscious living, the actions you're going to take are not going to be for the better. You might happen. It might be a miracle, a fluke. And you just happen to do the right thing. We all do the right thing, sure. A broken clock is right twice a day. You know, it can happen. You can be broken and still do things right. Absolutely. You can be broken and still do things right. Absolutely. But you won't be doing things right as much as you think you're doing things right. You're not going to be doing them 100% of the day as much as you can, because you're not even aware of what's right and wrong. You're not even aware of what's good and evil. You're not even aware of what's truth and falsity, because you only have 5 data points compared to 1,000. So you remain in confusion and contradictory beliefs that you're attached to, because you don't have other beliefs, other ideas, other imaginations of conceptions of reality in yourself for you to consider as possibilities in order to possibly detach from the other ones. If all you have is those one things, that's all you have as a foundation. You can't remove the foundation and have nothing to stand on. Most people can't do that, because then they fall into a void, into nothingness and despair, and then suicide. You know, they're completely lost. So yes, you have to become lost, but you need information to replace it. You need to go seeking information. So if you're going to be lost and you're not caring for truth yet, you're not looking for information, then you're just going to remain lost forever. You have to be lost and then find yourself. But you have to care for truth, to care to find the self-knowledge and to self-actualize and self-realize ourselves in the true individuation in alignment with truth, love, good, right, morality, true self, higher will, spirit, God, etc. Alright. So the next level of expression is the external expression or manifestation, which instead of changes in our being, now we're going to have changes in the world. We're going to be creating with truth to live in higher consciousness. When we had the internal manifestation, we had changes in our being where we embodied truth in order to evolve consciousness, to continue to evolve consciousness. Then at a certain point, you have to take the changes in yourself and you have to reflect them outwards as a mirror into changes in the world. That way we can create truth in order to live in higher consciousness altogether, everywhere on the planet. Otherwise, you're just in, you know, higher consciousness within yourself. If you're not actualizing it outside of yourself, it just stays within you and it doesn't manifest in the world, and essentially it goes nowhere, which is the whole point of knowing and not doing is not knowing. You have to do. That's why be and do are linked. That was in one of my last two or three audios, either on ego personality identity attachment, attachment to institutional belief systems, or in the higher self and lower self. I mentioned that aspect of being and doing is the same. Essentially, anyways. Not exactly the same, but in order to progress in higher consciousness, they are essentially the same. You have to do what you be, because being is a part of becoming, and a becoming is an action, it's a change. It's a change in yourself. So to be and become is to aspire towards something, and that's doing. In order to become something, you have to do. So there you go. That's why do and be and do, they're very, very interlinked. I'd say they're inseparable in a holistic sense. In a unified, harmonized sense, they go together. So this external expression in the natural law application is the external manifestation of behaviors and actions in alignment and harmony with natural law, principles of truth, love, and good, to create real lasting positive change for ourselves and other beings. It's freedom from harm by not creating harm. Imagine that. That's how simple it is. Where does evil come from? We create evil. You don't want to have evil in the world? Stop creating evil. Who's creating evil? We are. Time to point the finger inward. It's all about us. Each one of us creates evil. And as each one of us stops doing evil and influence other people to stop doing evil, and even in cases of using force to stop them from doing evil as a natural law causal agent of reciprocity and redress, yes, you can stop evil through force as a natural law causal agent acting on behalf of natural law, because we embody natural law and we become natural law in our being. We are natural moral law. We are morality. Then yeah, you can act on behalf of morality and stop immorality. Now, of course, there's allusions to diehard evangelical, extremist, fundamentalist, religious people who have the same fervor and, oh, I'm the hand of God. That's essentially what it is, what we're talking about here. Being morality is being a hand of God. Not in a delusional capacity, but really, there's the right hand of God and the left hand of God. I have an infographic that describes this. One is hamster wheel of life, and the other one that came right after was the natural law causal agents, which is a bunch of infographics together in one big infographic. And in there I have the downward and upward progression and the left hand and right hand. And you can see this in the natural truth, natural law, heaven and hell, Bible symbolism. Where the right hand of God is all the positive aspects of creating. So that's love, truth, knowledge, sovereignty, freedom, anarchy, good, order. It's knowledge, care, courage, will, everything that's good. And then on the left hand, so the right hand would be Maat and Isis, and then on the right hand you'd have Eris and Isfet, which represent chaos. The left hand, if you don't do, you have the choice. It's truth or consequence. You align with truth and morality, or you face the consequences. It's essentially what it comes down to. So either you're in the right hand of God, or feel the wrath of the left hand of God, which, in essence, you did to yourself. These are only symbolic terms. Okay, so that's why we're getting into this whole religiosity aspect. That's what I was talking about you can be a natural law causal agent and act in the capacity of morality as a right hand of God. And so this is where all the symbolism comes from. It's all about natural law and living your life in morality and standing for truth and morality, serving truth and morality, and sacrificing yourself to truth and morality. If everyone was doing this on the planet, you wouldn't have cops. People who would be doing, we would all be police, because we would all be natural law causal agents of reciprocity and redress, which is what the police are a substitute for right now. And it prevents us from knowing natural law, and they're the only ones. Of course people want to, you know, hey, you're the only one in society that's allowed to act in the capacities of natural law, and you can even act in capacities of immorality and get away with it. So of course people who want to be evil are attracted to that position, but you know, to do good, you would want to be attracted to that because you're the only one that's allowed to do good. No one's allowed to defend themselves. You have to call the police to defend you. So, of course, people, hey, I'm going to get paid to act as a natural law causal agent. At least that's what the appearance is. That's not the substance of the job. There's a lot more bullshit about it because you're getting paid for it. So, of course, you're going to accept money for doing something that all of us should be doing, but that all of us are convinced we have to abdicate our personal responsibility to police ourselves and prevent other people from doing harm. We all have to do this ourselves. So restrict that ability from people, remove their ability to be responsible, to actualize themselves as a true self, and then give that as a job for other people. So you're going to pay them to do what everyone else should be doing. So of course that's a good deal. You know, at first, in first conceptualization, yeah, it's a good deal. I'm going to get paid to do what all of us should already be doing. And I have more freedom. I get to put an end to evil. Yay, of course, I'm attracted to that. I'm going to go be a cop. Woohoo! But see, that's part of the deception of the whole way we live. Not only of the system we've constructed, but even if you get rid of these systems, there's still the underlying poisons and garbage and low quality and deadened capacities within us, deadened heart, deadened care, that we still wouldn't be able to overcome all these manifestations we create, because we would still be creating them, because we still haven't gotten rid of the root causal factor. So it would still manifest. Well, I forget where I was, but I guess that was enough of a rant. To continue on with the Trivium application. So, the changes in the world, when we're looking at it from a Trivium application perspective, is we're just talking about rhetoric, wisdom, and output. Wisdom is right action. I have a little post on that. That's what it's all about, wisdom. It's either the knowledge that can bring you to right action, or it's actually the right action itself. And that requires the underlying foundations and consciousness and thought and emotion in order to bring you to that action. So that action is wisdom, because it's represented by knowledge, which brings you to that action. So wisdom is right action. It's truth that leads to right action. So rhetoric, wisdom, output. Speech, writing, and action in reality. It's how to base our lives and behavior on what we know and understand to be right, good, true, and moral, not wrong, immoral, and false. So again, how. Previously in logic was why, and before that in grammar was who, what, where, when. And when we find out how, why things are a certain way, why one decision should be done over another, then we can understand how to bring about these understandings of how reality is, or why reality is the way it is, and why certain things happen. Then we can base what we do on that. So it's a result of quality, truth, and understanding root causal factors, and that this is ethics and morality. How to live our lives. That's what ethics is about. In the next column, levels of consciousness, the changes in the world, and creating in truth to live in higher consciousness. So that's when we have right action applied by understanding morality to our core being, and creating truth, love, good, right, etc., instead of creating what is false, fear, evil, wrong, through our attachment to lies, deceptions, and delusions. It's living in higher consciousness by creating with truth. So it's all about getting to right action. This third phase is what it's about. If you don't get here, you're not very far. You're actually nowhere. Because if you're not creating the world in alignment with what is right, good, and true, then it's most likely being created through ignorance, which would be through false perceptions and contradictions, which is falsity, and that's probably going to be what is false, wrong, and bad. Create with truth, truth or consequence. Create with truth, get the rewards, or face the consequences of your ignorance. In the fear of truth and unconsciousness for this external expression, that's where we get to external control over beings to coerce them into living in the fear, falsity, immorality, wrong, and evil of lies, bullshit, deceptions, mind control, and illusions. This is a devolved state of consciousness when you reach to this external control, and that's always because you're desiring, well, if you're in ignorance and confusion, you'll end up having external control to try to make sense of things that aren't going in accordance to the reality is not aligning and harmonizing with your perceptions of how things should be. Therefore, you're confused, and in this confusion, you're going to try to externalize control over reality that is not conforming with your perceptions of how reality should be. So because you're ignorant, because you have limited data points, and you're attached to them, you're confused about reality, and that's going to promote you to try to control reality because it does not conform to how you think it should be. You're going to try to be a god, and you're going to try to reshape reality according to your subjective multiverse parallel processing universe in your mind, and you're going to try to project that outwards and alter reality according to the unreality in your mind. And this, of course, will just keep you in confusion because things will never equilibrize and harmonize in that way. So you're just going to end up with more external control, and that'll just lead to more chaos and more slavery and more fear and more evil. That's the world we live in. So this is a devolved state of consciousness. You're being enslaved and enslaving other innocent, sentient, animate beings. And this is how we get our karma, reaping what we sow. Because we do it to ourselves. In our ignorance, in our confusion, we're externally trying to control everything, trying to dominate everything. That's what we are. We're in the predatory dominator mind virus of psychopathy, trying to enslave other beings because we're enslaving ourselves. We enslave ourselves and we enslave others, and we keep perpetuating the cycle of evil, and into the future other people come, and because of our past actions which created the condition of evil that perpetuates into the future, well, they're going to be immersed in evil. And that's what karma is. It's not, oh, well, your past life. No, it's the actions that come before represent the current state. So those who will be born into the future will be born into a future representative of the current state that we created right now, that I'm creating, that you're creating, that we are all creating. That's what karma is. Into the future, not my descendant. It doesn't matter if I have no children or if no one else has children and only some people have children. Those people will be living in the world that we created. That is karma. That is cause and effect. That is natural law. It's not a mysterious force that does things. It's not a mysterious force that says, oh, well, you are the son of XYZ or ABC, and 1, 2, 3 generations or whatever, how far it is, you have this karmic debt to pay. That is bullshit. Categorically bullshit. Everyone who believes in this just believes in it. It's a belief. That's all it is. Have you taken the time to verify this belief with reality? Because I have. That's what I'm explaining right here, right now, as what karma actually is. If you take the time to delve into natural moral law and understand this properly, what the golden rule is, law of attraction, how we create our reality, what cause and effect is, you're going to understand karma properly. It has nothing to do with past lives that you reincarnate in. That's not even how reincarnation works anyways. That's all for the future. Or maybe I'll include it in my natural law big presentation coming up, because apparently the concept of karma is tied into this aspect of true self and higher self, which people have completely bastardized in pseudo-spiritual conceptions. As far as I'm concerned, they're pseudo-spiritual, because they do not stand up to reality. I can re-explain these concepts in ways that are more grounded in reality and make more sense in terms of natural moral law as well, which is what I've just done with karma. Karma has nothing to do with past lives in the way that normal people, that people normally think of it. It has nothing to do with reincarnation in the way that people normally think about it. There's one true self, one higher will, and the reincarnations are just aspects of itself coming back, being individuated into physical bodies. It creates reality, and then when physical matter has enough complexity in order to host consciousness, well then, that's what the divine spark is. It's the ability. A rock doesn't have the divine spark. It's made of, you could say it's made of the divine spark. It doesn't have the consciousness in it. The physiological capacity isn't there. The complexity isn't there in order to host that consciousness. And you go up in biological forms. Well, plants can grow. They're not inanimate like rocks. And then you have more. You have animals. Animals are mobile. They can express their consciousness. They can run around. Even higher complexity and higher order animals can even express physiological manifestations of emotional capacities and feeling. And they have thought to get those feelings, and they can express thought in some ways. And some of them can, even higher order ones, can vocally communicate. You have ravens who can imitate man's voice, and different species, and dogs and cats can communicate in some ways. And it's just an individuation of one all that becomes that is capable of manifesting in higher potentials, in higher degrees of capacities, such as when you look at humans versus other lower animal beings. That's where the karma is. That's where we reincarnate. So when I'm dead, well, I'm not going to reincarnate as someone else. It's only the true self and the higher self that just keeps coming back. So that's reincarnation. So yeah, the people in the future, they're going to be reaping what we sow now. Because if we sow a planet of hell and an earth of hell, well, they're going to be living what we... They're going to be reaping what we sow, even if we don't reap it yet. But it's continually progressing into the future. What happened in the past creates the future. That's karma. It has nothing to do with this bullshit belief in reincarnation and all these past life things. Nonsense. Alright, let's continue here. We got the last layer of expression, which is generating or manifesting reality through an aggregate qualitative effect of everyone combined. So aggregate, everyone combined, and its quality, equality. If you do not have quality, and you have everyone combined doing low quality, well, guess what you're going to get? You're going to generate low quality planet. You're going to generate a low quality reality, a low quality world for us to live in. So when you do that, you have truth, love, good, and right everywhere. When you do it right, when you generate an equality of everyone combined together to no longer do evil, then you're going to get that truth, love, good, and right everywhere. So overall, this is when we get anarchy, true freedom, true order, goodness, true peace, true love. There's no master-slave theft of property of other sentient animate beings. Slavery is evil across the board. Saying no to illusions, bullshit, and doing wrong. True personal responsibility is to recognize the rights of other sentient animate beings and not engage in violation of their rights through theft of their various forms of property. That is when we will be embodying greater aspects and qualities of truth, love, goodness, rightness, morality, natural law, true self, higher self, higher will, etc. Because we will be actually living them not compromising or sacrificing them. Truth is one way. Go all the way. You're not compromising the truth. You're not sacrificing truth. What you are doing is you're sacrificing yourself and your petty bullshit life, your petty bullshit attachments, your petty bullshit pleasure gratification, and you're going to sacrifice yourself to truth and morality. You're going to give yourself to truth and morality. You're going to serve truth and morality, and you're going to stand for truth and morality. And only then, when everyone is doing this, through an aggregate qualitative effect of everyone combined, then we're going to get truth, love, good, and right everywhere. But until we do that, we will not get truth, love, and good everywhere. No, 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 it will not happen. So this last part, you want to keep enslaving animals? You want to keep exploiting animals? You don't want to go for the truth and morality all the way? You don't want to figure out that it's one way, that we need to go all the way, as far as we can, the most we can, because we can? Well, guess what? You will never get anarchy. You will never get true freedom. You'll never get true goodness, true order, true peace, true love. You don't get any of that. You only get partial representations and facsimiles while you continue to do evil. While you continue to do immorality, because you don't want to go all the way in truth. You're not ready to sacrifice your bullshit behaviors, your bullshit attachments, and shed them all in favor of embracing and harmonizing with truth and morality. All about slavery and evil. End it completely. You can't do... my right hand has removed myself from harm, but my left hand is going to keep beating and slitting throats, and we're going to just keep doing evil. But it's not against humans. With our right hand, we're going to do, you know, the will of creation and the higher will, higher self, true self, with our right hand. We're not going to harm other humans because they're like us, and we need them to be like us so that we can stop enslaving ourselves. But the other animals, they don't matter. If we stop enslaving other animals, they're not going to help us stop enslaving ourselves. So only other humans matter. That's what some people think, even if they don't want to admit it to themselves. And we're just going to stop the human harm with our right hand, but the left hand, we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep doing harm, keep doing evil, slavery, exploitation. But it's okay because it's our left hand. We don't have to be united ourselves. We don't have to be wholly integrated with truth and morality. Nah, we can keep being divided and have our right hand doing good and the left hand doing evil. And that's going to create true freedom and true order and true goodness and true peace and true love. Oh yeah, we can just keep deluding ourselves and all this bullshit and believe whatever we want because we're just essentially satanic New Agers who have no conception of how to find truth, and we just believe whatever we want to believe. Woohoo! Alright, so the last part of generating and manifesting would be in truth, the fear for truth, and unconsciousness. Now, if you're getting to this part where you're already in ignorance, confusion, and external control, which comes from Mark Passio's natural law chart, I've just developed them into my own explanations, which differ from his. You're going to end up in the generating the result of everyone living together in slavery, disorder, fear, and evil, which is what we have been living for a very long time and where we're continuing to go, because we have all these false appearances of gradualism and improvements. It's like one step forward, two steps back. But because we have technology, we think we're taking five steps forward and only one step back or something like that. All these appearances, all these facades, all these obfuscations and these euphemisms, it's all clouding and masking our perception of reality as it truly is. So we think we're taking two steps forward or one step back, or five forward and one step back, but it's actually the reverse. It's just we can't see it because we're living in delusions. We deceive ourselves because we don't want to face reality. So slavery, disorder, fear, and evil, that's when we're rejecting the responsibility to truth. The sacred masculine of self-defense and sacred feminine, do no harm, of non-violence. violating rights of other sentient animate beings. And that's death dealing. We are death dealers. So it's not things die on their own. No, no, we're dealing out death. We're dealers of death. We're murderers by choice of our way of life. That's how we choose to live. We choose to be murderers. Dealing out murder and death to beings we have no right to harm. Why? Because they didn't harm us. We don't need to eat them in order to live. And so to choose to do that doesn't absolve the immorality. All it does is it makes it a choice. Even if you have to survive and there's no plants anywhere and all there is sand and there's an animal, a human or a non-human animal, and you choose to murder it and eat it because you want to survive, well, that's your want is to survive, and the only thing you can eat is that animal, so you choose to do it, and that's your choice. Your choice does not equate morality. Your ability to choose right and wrong will determine your ability to live in morality, but your choice does not dictate morality. Morality is supposed to dictate your choice. That's where it comes into. You don't compromise and sacrifice truth. You compromise yourself and sacrifice yourself to truth and morality. Because morality is what dictates your choices. Not you. You ultimately choose whether you're going to follow morality or immorality, truth or falsity, good or evil, right or wrong. But once you understand all this stuff, understand the true self symbolically or actually, or the higher self symbolically or actually, the higher will symbolically or actually. It's about aligning ourselves with this higher will of truth, truth, right, goodness, rightness, morality, natural law. It's all one way. You're not going to go the other way towards falsity and fear, evil, wrong, immorality. That doesn't make any sense. Of course you want to go one way. Continually maximize yourself and embody it and actualize yourself to greater capacities. Learn more about what evil is. Learn more about what slavery is. And learn to remove yourself from participating in evil and slavery. Then we're going to create the world we want. And until you do that in all the ways you can, because you can do it right now, then you're not going to actualize yourself in the greatest capacity you can. And you're not going to be fulfilling your own individuated potential as a qualitative effect of everyone combined to create the aggregate world we want to see. You're going to be part of keeping us down because you're not actualizing yourself in the highest degrees of truth and morality that you can. So you want to keep yourself down? Well, you keep the rest of us down. We have to make you change, or we have to get other people to change, which is a better route. People who don't want to change and don't want to accept the truth, don't keep forcing it. I think you should just work on the people who are more accepting. I have a note on this that I haven't released, having to do with time and learning, and where we focus our time and attention on people who don't want to wake up, and it doesn't matter what we say, we just keep wasting our time on them. Anyways, that's the end of this presentation on the natural law, trivium, and levels of consciousness chart that I made. Thank you very much for your time and attention. There's more to learn apart from this. There's a Circle of Life infographic, which deals more with all of this combined, and another infographic. And that one's already done as a video and audio, if you want to look at it. So thank you very much for your time and attention. Have a wonderful day. Take care. Peace.